Oh, it's working. Cool. I don't know why I didn't expect that to work. It should have. Love you, Elliot. Shout out to Audio. Hello, everyone. My name is Cameron Arcudos, and it is my honor to speak on behalf of the seniors to share about our experiences today. I've known many of you since I was born, and it's been amazing to grow in the Lord together, especially these past few years. I've made a crazy amount of fun memories here. I'll never forget all the deep conversations during small group or bonfire sessions, the 40-person Gaga ball games, the wisdom learned from listening to Clifton's sermons. I still remember freshman final 7 year when Elijah handed me those fake Oreos that were filled with toothpaste. I'm not afraid of that. It's honestly crazy how fast these 6 or 7 years have flown by. I still remember when I came into Roots, I was this little obnoxious little kid with a buzz cut who was excited to finally get out and hang out with the older kids. As I said, every youth group was all about making new friends, playing games, and arguing with Luke about whether my peach fuzz mustache was cool or not. I think we're still in debate about that, I don't know. Roots is essentially a social function to me. But over these 6 years, I've come to know that Roots is so much more. It provides a space where we can grow together in Christ and learn more about what it really means to be a believer. Enables us to navigate the difficulties of adolescence by sharing the burden together in light of the gospel hope with people who are going through similar experiences. As I said, our small group leader made us memorize a passage that relates to the purposes of us as students at Roots. 1 Thessalonians 5:9-11, for God has not predestined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Roots is so much more than social function. The gospel love of Christ and the salvation that he has bought for us unites us in a way that is unique than just friendship, but salvation, but godly brotherhood. The gospel allows us to come together here and encourage one another through the hope that God in Christ has provided for us all. Even for those here that are still unsure or struggling regarding where they stand in Christ, Roots gives them that opportunity to better understand the message of the gospel without making them feel discouraged or unwelcome. Ultimately, Roots allows the students the unique opportunity to develop us as young students toward a gospel-oriented worldview, especially in these crazy times in the digital era where, where the world says a lot of things about who we are, who we're supposed to be. Roots is the place where people, leaders like Clifton, speak to us about who we are really in Christ and it's in Christ. And book each other through shared experiences. So in light of 1 Thessalonians 5:9-11, I would like to take this time to encourage all of you what I've learned for these past 6 years. First off is, I already mentioned it, but the world is going to tell you a lot of things about what you're supposed to be or who you want to be. You might get caught up in romantic attainments, you might chase off your good grades, you might gesture just like the love of money. But I'm going to tell you now, what I've learned that all that, like Romans has said, it's rubbish compared to what we have in Christ. The world term, the verse I was reading today was about how the path of destruction is wide. But the gate to life is narrow, so I encourage you to follow that path because even though the world will give us what is easy and that is like to follow our sinful nature, we know that through Christ that seeking to follow even when it's hard is ultimately the gate to life and peace. Just focusing on him will bring you satisfaction more than no matter what this world has to offer. God is over and sovereign over all of that. Number two, his verses are new every morning. So a lot of us, I know this can be a difficult time, especially in adolescence, middle school, high school, whatever. There are days where we can wake up feeling, I feel so good as a Christian. I read my Bible today consistently. But there are also days where you're just going to sit there and be like, I sinned really badly today. Or like, I disobeyed my parents, even though I knew it was wrong. But you have to remember that God's verses are new every morning. He forgives you through all of that, and the fact, and especially, he sees into your very soul, and he still loves you. So just reflect on that every day and be grateful for the mercies he has every morning. And last thing, I really want to encourage for incoming students, especially because I feel very happy for this community of believers here now. I can speak to many of the students here, older students, have very powerful testimonies. I've been very inspired by all of you students here today. Just, you guys have very powerful and beautiful stories to tell about the way God has worked in your lives. And so incoming students, I would really encourage that you talk to them, just because I'm confident that you will learn very much from the students themselves as well. And lastly, I would really like to thank the leaders, all of you, just for the impact you've had in my life, not just my life, but every student here. I don't know where you all are, but I'm just saying, like, right, it's just, yeah. Just, I don't know where I'd be without all of you. You all had such a great impact on leading me to in my faith and just grounding me with everything. So thank you for being who I am, and thank you for leading me towards God, the most important thing in my life and to all yours. Thank you. Now I'd like to introduce the Macho Maniac, standing at 5'10", Maya Orujo. Hey, 5'10".
I'm saying that You should be putting yourself out there, not out of a desire to fit in, but out of an appreciation of the privilege of belonging here. Because it is such a blessing to be here. Not only do we get to learn about God and receive encouragement from each other, we get the opportunity to encourage and demonstrate godliness to one another. It has been such a blessing to be loved here, but it's been an even greater blessing to love here. It's just being part of being a family. I cannot believe that my time of Roots has come to an end, but I cannot wait to see how God continues to use all of you in each other's spiritual lives. I'm so thankful I got the opportunity to be a part of your lives, and I'm so thankful for the massive blessing of being a part of this Roots family. Thank you. From the mean streets of Diamond Bar, California, please welcome up Tyrone Vaughn.
My name is Tyrone Chan, and today I'll be talking about what God has done in my life these past few years. I'll also be giving some advice and talk about some mistakes I made and things that I would have done differently as well. Before I get into that, I just want to say, it's kind of crazy being up here as a graduating senior, and Roots has been a big part of my life these past 4 years, and it means a lot to have the chance to reflect and share what God has done in my life with all of you. I still remember the first Roots I attended going to ninth grade. I didn't know what to expect, but it was really awesome seeing how welcoming and kind everyone was, and it was overall just a really fun time. But before I dive into all the other stuff, I just want to take this time to acknowledge and thank the Roots leaders. Thank you guys for investing so much time into us and teaching us about the gospel, not just through the lessons you taught, but also through how you live. You guys are all great examples of what it looks like to follow Jesus, and even though you guys have all have your own busy schedules and families to take care of, you still take the time out of your day to come to Roots and serve every week, and even meet up with us one-on-one outside of Roots, and it's really encouraging to see that, and I'm really grateful for all of you and the way you lead this ministry. To start off, I would like to share a little bit of how God has changed my life. Before I was saved, I didn't want to be around believers because I thought the sinful life I was living would satisfy me more than God would. I wanted to be around people that were worldly because I felt more comfortable in that environment. So I never actually wanted to come to church and Roots, even though I knew that the people here were genuinely loving and cared about me. But fast forward to today, a lot happened, and when I was broken for God, He allowed me to see the genuine love that believers have for one another, and I wanted to be a part of that. Now I really enjoy and love being around Christians and having fellowship with the people here at Roots. I also wanted to share some advice with you guys, especially the students that are just coming into Roots. The advice I'll be talking about is mainly from the regrets and the things I would have done differently. When I started going to Roots, I was not a Christian, so Roots and church were not a priority to me. And like I said before, I enjoyed the world more than these things, but the world will leave you empty, and I'm sure there's some of you who are currently going through that right now or feel the same way. So I want to let you guys know a few things that might be helpful. First off, when you don't feel like coming to Roots or going to church, remember that you need to hear the truth, because the truth will lead you to eternal life. The things that are being taught here at Roots are so valuable and life-changing. Not only that, but the time that you get with the leaders and believers here will help you get through the struggles that you're going through and help you have the right perspective about the world. However, yes, Roots is a good tool to point to Christ and learn about the gospel, but the only one that can save you is God. Unless you surrender all to Him, your life will be empty and you'll stay in that cycle of sin that you're going through. Having church and Roots as a priority will help you stay focused on the right path to see how important it is to personally know Christ and have a genuine relationship with Him. Another piece of advice I want to leave you guys with as I'm leaving Roots is to keep trusting in God's plan for your life. When you face trials, in the moment you might feel as if God's ways don't make sense, but remember who God is and that He is ultimately the only one you can put your complete hope and trust in. God says in Isaiah 55:8-9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So when doubts come your way, and you can remember this verse, and it shows that God really does know what's best for us, and that you can trust in Him fully, even when the hardships that are going on in your, even when there's hardships going on in your life. When we think we know better, we're being deceived and thinking that we know more than God. So we must humble ourselves and remember that God is ultimately in control and knows all things. I want to finish off the speech by thanking all of you who have prayed for me and reached out to me, especially when I was living in the wild sin. At the time, I didn't really care, and I tried to avoid it, but just know that in the end, God used you as a part of His plan to save me. And I'm so thankful to God because I don't deserve any of His mercy and grace that He has shown me, especially in this past year. Although I will still struggle and fall short, I will always walk in God's grace and mercy. And for those of you who aren't believers today, I plead with you that you will all see how serious your sin is and where it will lead you and how desperate you are in need for a Savior. Lastly, I want to end this quote with this quote I heard from John Piper. This is mostly for the senior class, but it can be helpful to all of you. He says, "My feelings are not God, God is God. My feelings do not define truth, God's word defines truth. My feelings are echoes and responses to what my mind perceives. And sometimes, many times, my feelings are out of sync with the truth. When that happens, and it happens every day in some measure, I try not to bend the truth to justify my imperfect feelings, but rather I plead with God. Purify my perceptions of your truth and transform my feelings so that they are in sync with the truth." So I hope as we all graduate, this will be the desire of all of you guys, not only the seniors, but those of you who are still in high school as well. Thank you. Worst Brawl Stars player of all time and the biggest Jaden Daniels fan ever. Give it up for Kayla Sun. And present, my parents, and so many more. God has blessed me in countless ways through this ministry and through all the people who were and are faithfully serving for the sake of Moody Teenagers. I know it's not always easy to sacrifice your Friday nights to come and talk to us, but your wisdom and time is so valuable, and I love getting to see and appreciate all the gifts that God has blessed you with. And through these gifts given to you, He has blessed all of us students. So thank you. But mainly, I wanted to take this time to share a little bit about what God has done in my life through Roots and my time here. I became a Christian the summer between my 6th and 7th grade, right as I entered youth group. As a young believer, I was eager to learn everything that I could. Roots became one of the main ways that I was able to have intentional conversations, learn from other believers, and grow in my walk with the Lord. Especially as I entered public school in 9th grade, I realized just how special it is to have a place that I could come to at the end of each week, exhausted from living in the world among worldly people, and instantly be refreshed by scripture and fellowship. Now, 6 years later, I can remember hundreds of moments late on Friday nights, either on the way home or even in bed about to fall asleep, where I would think about how grateful I was to God for this youth group. Even though the retreats are awesome, I think I felt the strongest impact of Roots in my life through the consistent weekly meetings that fed me with the word and encouraged me to keep living the Christian life with joy and confidence, even when it felt impossible. I often left these doors in awe of how such a good and righteous God could give me, a sinful little girl, these people and this church. One of the most valuable things I've learned in the past few years, and something I now want to share with all the remaining Roots students, is that youth group is great, and God uses it in amazing ways. But it is not the church, so don't treat it like it is. Roots is just one part of Cornerstone, and I want to encourage you, if you are a believer, to think about your place in the local church and how that affects your priorities and the way that you live. And if you are not saved or unsure of your salvation, I ask you to consider why you do what you do and what or who you live for.
Going to church does not make you a Christian, and having Christian parents or family members does not automatically make you one either. However, it is an incredible blessing to receive the teaching, revelation, and grace that you get through Roots and CBC, and I hope you can all someday realize that. Now I would like to thank all the Roots students here for being some of my closest friends and the best part of my weeks for the past 6 years. Thank you for continuously pointing me to Christ, rebuking me with love when I need it, and patiently letting me talk for way too long, whether in a small group or just in general. Thank you for being bold to invite others and proclaim the gospel to unbelievers. Being able to serve and worship alongside you, whether through music, games, or anything else, has been super fun and ultimately just really encouraging. And ultimately, I thank God for giving me people that have led me to realize how much better the Christian life is when I'm actively seeking to live it with other believers. The truth is, I've spent a large part of my life looking forward to these next years of greater independence in college, but now that I'm here, I realize that in all my long 18 years, I don't think I've experienced anything sadder than having to leave Cornerstone and these friends. And this is truly just a testament to God's goodness in my life, for providing me with such a solid church that could teach and guide me basically since the day I was born, and for giving me people that I'm united with in Christ. And also, if saying goodbye here is the hardest thing for me so far, I've lived a pretty comfortable life, which is again all God's grace to me. I know that these next several months are going to bring a lot of changes to Roots as a whole, but thankfully I have confidence that the God we serve will forever remain faithful, even when things change. At college, Cornerstone, or even Canada, no matter where we are or what we are doing, He is a constant who will sustain us through it all, and He will receive all the glory. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone, parents, friends, leaders, children, and fellow graduates. Thank you all for coming and giving up your time to be here. My first Roots graduation, I had no idea what was happening. I had barely just become a middle schooler, and I was saying bye to people I had never talked to. Now, I'm one of those people, but hopefully I was able to talk to you. None of this thing is cliche and is repeated over and over again, but time really does fly by. There wasn't even a single thought about graduating or stepping foot on this podium as a seventh grader. And honestly, it is so surreal standing here, taking the place of the seniors before, attempting to impart whatever small amount of wisdom that I've obtained from my time here at Roots and being used by God to glorify Him. Roots has been the source of so many amazing memories, whether it is listening to all of the sermons, participating in small groups, playing human foosball or body-body, the occasional ping pong and around the world, the group discussions of the latest sports game, Clifton's frequent tangents about any movie you could think of, Clifton and Ashley's pregnancy announcement, or deep conversations about sin, the gospel, and being a Christian. Every memory and experience at Roots has a purpose in God's eyes, and it is such a blessing to be used by God as part of His sovereign plan, providing just a small taste of what heaven will look like. Looking back at all of the unique memories that make Roots into the close, tight-knit community of students and leaders that it is now has made me realize how good it is to be a Christian. Without our common goal of glorifying God and following Christ, this group of people might not have ever met, or it would lack the compassion, love, respect, selflessness, and joy that Roots is full of all the time. It's important to really cherish the blessings God has given us by His grace and appreciate the believers God has placed in our lives. Speaking of appreciating other believers, I encourage everyone to really take the time to learn from those God has placed in your life and follow their Christ-like examples. Whether those people are your parents, Roots leaders, church members, or believing friends, the people you are surrounded by have a massive influence on you, and they help to shape you. It is extremely easy to fall into temptation and seek superficial pleasures when surrounded by friends that point you away from God. Surround yourself with believers that constantly encourage you to follow Christ and help mold you into a Christ follower who always trusts in God rather than yourself. As a sixth or seventh grader, I always had a massive fear of man and would be hesitant when it came to getting to know the seniors or even the small group leaders. I still struggle with the fear of man, but I have learned that moving past that fear Getting out of your comfort zone and really putting effort into getting to know others can be one of the most rewarding experiences, since you can really develop deep, meaningful fellow relationships with fellow believers that point you to God. Graduation, as an unbeliever, is generally seen as a culmination of all of your own achievements, moving forward with your hopes of achieving success, while graduation as a believer is recognizing your achievements through God and moving forward with assurance and trust in God's sovereign plan for your life. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Achieving success through one's own means, fitting in, seeking validation from others, and conforming to worldly standards might seem appealing or even fulfilling, but the satisfaction or sense of fulfillment you might get from that is only temporary. Nothing can satisfy besides God. Psalm 107:9, for he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. I would like to thank all of the Roots students for making Roots the community that it is, having an open heart that is ready to absorb the gospel, and loving others. It's been amazing seeing each of you grow and mature, even seeing shifts in hairstyles or even drastic changes in height. Especially you, Nathan. Thank you to all of the Roots leaders for giving up your time to be there for us, shepherd us, and point us to Christ. You all are some of the best examples of following Christ and loving others, and I'm so thankful for your genuine love and compassion. I wanted to thank all of the leaders, but there's not enough time for that, so thank you, Uncle John Shigemasu, my small group leader, for always providing our small group with your extensive wisdom, and I've gained so much respect for the way that you seek to serve God. Thank you also for paying for our food when we go to Chick-fil-A or Korean barbecue. Thank you, Clinton and Ashley, for the immense amount of effort you put into shepherding all of us, running all the activities, ensuring that we remember to prioritize God above everything else, and loving us. I think I speak for everyone when I say that you will be greatly missed and you will never forget what you have done for us. I would also like to thank my parents for showing me what living for God looks like and for always guiding me, reprimanding me when I sin, and loving me even at my worst. You have always pointed me to Christ and sacrificed so much, always thinking of others before yourselves. Thank you to my sisters, Katie and Audrey, for always keeping me grounded, for loving me, for reminding me of the gospel, and for crushing me in every Brawl Stars game. To the seniors, we made it. Not by our own merit, but through God, we were able to grow just a little more in our faith and love for God and for others. We'll never perfectly trust in God or love others, but we have learned together to repent of our sins, acknowledge our weaknesses, and trust in God's strength rather than our own. I've learned so much over the years from church, the Bible, Roots, and encouraging conversations and experiences. I have all of you here to thank for that, and I'm especially grateful for how Roots has been such a loving family with brothers and sisters that genuinely care about each other's salvation. This sense of closeness and community is something that is so rare, and I encourage each and every one of you to really love others and love God, because he 110% deserves our love. Thank you.
And it was only like 25 minutes ago where all the seniors were like, oh, my speech is so bad, I'm so worried about this. And then they just did so well. Thank you guys, this is super cool. No, it's been so fun getting to know you guys the last 5 years, and it's fun to think of you guys this year, and even this moment, it's fun to think of, you know, what's the last thing that we could tell you guys, especially, I'm looking here, are all of you guys over there? Are there any seniors? Anyone else?
Jaden and Noel are currently.
Yeah, Jaden and Noel. Well, I just want to make sure I'm straining my neck actually looking at you guys, if that makes sense. You guys did a good job staying the time limit, and I want to, too. So I want to... for a last message for you guys at Roots, I want to read you two verses and just talk a little bit about them. And it's been fun. You know, every single word of the Bible is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and for training. And so it's been fun. There's so many places we could go. But these are the two verses I've come back to, I think, the most this year that I hope encourage you guys. But it might come from a surprising place. This is Ecclesiastes 12, verses 1 through 5. verses 13 and 14. This is the end of that book. And it says this: "The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil." I know Ecclesiastes might not seem like the place to go when you're celebrating people and sharing biblical advice, especially when that advice, probably to our culture, sounds a little legalistic. But there's actually some reasons why. I don't think we hear those verses very well. And one of the reasons is because it comes from a book, Ecclesiastes, and a lot of us misunderstand what that book is actually about. And I know we haven't studied it at Root, so for a lot of us, it might make sense why we don't understand this book very well. But a lot of people kind of misunderstand this book. It's a very depressing book. That's about how life is worse than we think, and it has no meaning in it. Or at least some people say that it's a book about how life has no meaning unless without God. But the book is actually a little bit more complicated than that, and it's because it's a book of wisdom. And it's actually a book about living wisely in a world gone bad. So that might make some of its advice have a heavy tone, but not a pessimistic one. In fact, it's a really realistic kind of tone. And realistic advice, I think, is a really good place to go, especially when it's biblical. When we recognize the Bible's realness, you really get advice about how living in a broken and complex world can be a lot more hopeful than you might think it would be. And the other reason that we kind of mishear this is we mishear Solomon's tone, especially in this verse. When you hear these verses, it's kind of easy to reinterpret them as, you know, take God seriously, obey him without question, and then you'll live a nice, faithful, boring, obedient life. And that's really not giving credit to how Solomon wants to be heard, and specifically how God wants to be heard. These verses come from the conclusion of a man's lifetime investigation of what is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, and worthy of praise in a broken world. And that means it's very profitable, and it's also very exciting. And after Solomon spent his whole life investigating that, there's one truth that rewarded him over every other truth, and it summarized everything about living a life of purpose and meaning. And that truth that he wants you to hear is, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And then the question is, because we haven't been in this entire book, why does he think that that conclusion is worthy of you staking your entire life on? And we can't go through the whole book, but I just want to give you really three reasons from the book of Ecclesiastes of why that advice from Solomon is so helpful. And the first is this: fearing God and keeping his commandments is the path to pleasure. Fearing God and keeping his commandments is the path to pleasure. One of the most convincing lies in this world that you're going to hear a lot is that sin can be more pleasurable than righteousness. You are going to hear that. This broken world says that wrongness every once in a while can bring joy, and more every once in a while than you might think. Things like lust, greed, selfishness, revenge, everybody might say that you shouldn't make decisions based on those kinds of motivations, but in reality, a lot of people think that certain decisions should be influenced by those things, if you look at how they actually live their lives. And you don't need to be told that to know that, because all of us are still sinners. And so all of us, ever since the garden, are going to be tempted every once in a while, or maybe pretty often, that there's some goodness in what's forbidden. And especially young people from any culture and any generation tend to think this. Righteousness is right, but it doesn't always feel good, and maybe it isn't actually as good as we think it is. But Solomon responds to that, and he says that sin will convince you that happiness or comfort would make a very good God. And that's not true, because that God can't deliver and cannot save. So whenever you're tempted to look at temptation that is trying to sell you joy, Solomon would tell you that you need to tell yourself, fear God and keep his commandments. That is a path to a joyful life. Sin is not a path to a joyful life. According to Solomon, if you accept each day's work and responsibilities as a gift from God, and you live to please him, you will live a pleasurable life. God designed us to find joy on that path alone. So if you commit yourself to a disciplined life of thankfulness and faithfulness, you will be maximizing the contentment available to you in this life. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 2, verses 24 and 26, which is kind of his first conclusion after investigating all these things in life that give him pleasure, he ends that section by saying, there's nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. So when sin seems like an option, God always has a better righteous option, and his option has more joy in it. Ecclesiastes 3:13, God has put eternity into man's heart. I perceive that there's nothing better for them than to be joyful and do good as long as they live, also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. That is God's gift to man. So do not forsake that gift. Speak truth to the lies of your flesh. Don't try to predict how much joy you could get out of a sinful decision. That's the path to disaster and slavery. But the path God has given to you to do many right things, you will find joy in them. But I think that leads to a second conclusion that Solomon says in this book. And the second conclusion is fearing God and keeping his commandments prepares you for disappointment, dissatisfaction, and death. That truth prepares you for disappointment, dissatisfaction, and death. I think you guys know already in high school, but you're going to know even more in the next phase, that some of the hardest parts of life are when our expectations were wrong, and when our expectations come crashing down, when life doesn't turn out the way we hoped it would be, and when we feel like life isn't worth as much as we thought it was. But often the problem of that starts with our false, unrealistic expectations about life. And especially in the modern world and in this next phase of life, people with a modicum level of control over their lives can misunderstand that you cannot avoid pain and sorrow. You can't treat pain and sorrow like they're avoidable things. They're not. And the reason that we know that is because death exists in this world. And a lot of people think that living a good life means avoiding that reality, death and everything connected with it. They refuse to accept it, or they fail to take it seriously. And that's a problem, because ignoring death actually means ignoring a key meaning maker in your life. There's a guy who wrote a book. It's not a very long book. It's a very good book. It's called Remember Death, and it's by a guy named Matthew McCullough. And he says this in his book. He says, the path to realistic expectations about life moves through honesty about death. Our detachment from death has carved out the space for our expectations to run wild. If my baseline expectation of the world is comfort, convenience, and control, if this is what I assume I owe from life, then when I suffer, I will likely blame God. But when we recognize death's hold on us and everything that we love, we will not be surprised that life is not what we want it to be. Frustration, disappointment, dissatisfaction, these belong among the many faces of death, the pockets of darkness that make up death's shadow. These experiences are normal, not surprising. Death awareness resets my baseline expectation about life in the world. This honesty about death then prepares me for what is truly surprising, which is this, that God the Son subjected himself to the limitations, brokenness, and death that are normal for us. Taking that and applying it, Solomon's advice for you is to live life without forgetting death. That doesn't mean adding it as a new burden to your life or thinking about it too much. It just means remembering that life goes very quickly. And if you know that death is a reality and you never know when it's going to come, it actually makes you put a lot of value and purpose into every day. And then God shapes that value and purpose in every day. Ecclesiastes 11, verses 8 and 9. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Now, he's not being sarcastic to there. He's just speaking very directly to us. He's saying, death does remind us that life is meaningful and that you should glorify God and enjoy the things that he's given you, but also remember that you are accountable for your life. And it's very easy to forget that in this next phase of life. You can very easily, accidentally make your life about your own glory and comfortability, and that is actually sin. And sin leads to death, Romans 6:23. And that will not give you the life you think it will. Living for your own glory and ignoring death leads you to a bitter, frustrated, and ungrateful life, and eventually judgment. And Solomon saves us from that. He speaks wisely and says, living in the fear of God means that death is no longer a burden and life is a gift to be enjoyed in him. So if life ever seems like nothing more than unrealized expectations, or you're very frightened by the what ifs in this next phase of life, remember, fear God and keep his commandments. Because nothing, no disappointment, no mistake, and not even death is bigger than God. Trust in him, because it becomes a catalyst to maximize your life, even when life is upsetting to you. Ecclesiastes 8:12, though a sinner does evil 100 times and prolongs his life, yet I know that it will be well for those who fear God because they fear before him. None of death's faces can ruin the one who clings to God's steadfast love. And I think that leads to one final explanation that Solomon gives from the book of Ecclesiastes and why he summarizes this book with this commandment. He says, fear God and keep his commandments because this is the summary of all wisdom. Fearing God and keeping his commandments is the summary of all wisdom. Now, if you talk to anyone, even if they're not a believer, they're probably going to say that they want wisdom. And if they trusted you or had a good view of your reputation and you said you had wisdom for them, they probably want to hear it. But the reality is that everybody actually doesn't want wisdom for the same reason. And one of the things that Solomon talks about in Ecclesiastes is that what often people want when they say they want wisdom is they want more control over their life. That's why a lot of people want wisdom. We want to live life exactly the way we want and shape it by our own wisdom. But Solomon learned that no amount of wisdom can give you control over your own life. Not ultimately. Ecclesiastes 9:11, I saw that under the sun, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all. And you might not think that that's a very Christian thing to say when God is sovereign, but he's really not trying to make your life about chance. He's not just trying to say wisdom is useless and you shouldn't try to change any outcome in your life. He's not trying to say that. He's just trying to help you think about why you're pursuing wisdom. If you've got wisdom, what would you spend it on? Can you even qualify what is wise? And Solomon's trying to take all of that thinking and help you come to the realization that wisdom means confiding in God's sovereignty and his standards, even though confusion and chaos is unavoidable in your life. So when Solomon says, this is the end of the matter, this is the whole duty of man, what he means is that if you want moral clarity, if you want contentment, if you want to be a capable person and a confident person in a confusing world, all of that starts with fearing God and keeping his commandments. A good life does not come from avoiding every evil. It comes from accepting the inevitability of evil in this world and trusting that it's a part of God's inevitably good plan for your life. That's wisdom. Ecclesiastes 7:13, consider the work of God. Who can make straight what he has made crooked? When life does get confusing, and some of your most confusing moments are probably sure to come, just remember, it's not your job to fix this world. It's not even necessarily your job to fix your world. It's your job to find joy in honoring God. And that's something that God definitely wants to do. When you face evil and brokenness, fear God and his commandments, because it will shape your life for the better. That's what Ecclesiastes 3:1-8, that amazing poem that a lot of people know, that's what that is about. If you worry that your life is going to change for the worse, whether because of something you did or someone did to you, fear God and keep his commandments, because God has done it so that people fear before him. Ecclesiastes 3:14. And when you face confusion and difficulty, fear God and keep his commandments, because you will learn that God has made everything beautiful in its time. Ecclesiastes 3:11. There's a reason why fearing God and keeping his commandments is the summary of all wisdom. It's because God actually wants you to treasure life even if the world is broken. And you will only treasure life if you believe that God's goodness will inevitably shine through all the brokenness. It really, really will. One pastor said this quote that I think is helpful. At least for me, it was helpful. He said, "We don't fear God because he's bad. We stand in utter awe before him because he's so good that it's scary." That's a really good way to describe what it means to fear God. God is so good that it's scary. So no matter what surprises come in the next season, God has good and greater surprises for you. And all of his greater surprises for you are going to reveal his glory and his grace to you so much more deeply than you can imagine. So I hope that encourages you guys, because it's from God to you. And I want to pray for you quick, and then we'll wrap up and spend the rest of the night together. So let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for these seniors. Thank you so much for the way you've worked in all of their lives. Father, these are 11 really amazing adults. And you've done so much through their families, through this church, through your word. You've been so, so gracious to them. And Father, we are so thankful that they know that, and you've helped them to recognize that, and that we can be blessed by them. These years together, some of us for decades, have been so gracious, and we deserve none of it as sinners. And you have just unloaded so much grace to us through them. And so, Father, we just pray for all of their futures, whether they are close at home or whether they are far away, that you would bless them, keep them, and allow your face to shine upon them. We pray that you would continue to give them a love of God, a love of you, a love of your Son, and a hatred of sin, that they would dedicate their lives to living for you in a local church context, in the places that you have uniquely placed all of them, so that they would maximize all of the potential that you've provided for them for your glory. And Father, we can pray all of these things with so much confidence, because you know, no matter what happens in the future that you make for each one of them, it is going to be for your glory and for their good. So we thank you for them, and we pray you would bless their futures and the rest of this night and this summer that we still have together. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. Before we wrap up the night, I'm going to do one more thing. And in the spirit of your announcements for each other, I would like to welcome up 6'4", LeBron James lover, Mr. Rabbi Will Lau.